Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the June 23 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services out of Webster City, Iowa, and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities from Lafayette, Indiana. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can listen to our whole program anytime you'd like online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Well, let's start as usual with our first question, which is always, what are the topics we should discuss for the day? Matt Bennett of Channel Seeds in Windsor, Illinois.
You know, I think, obviously, with the acreage report coming up, we should probably toss around our final thoughts there, as well as after this recent sell-off, how everyone feels about the potential, you know, that highs are in on the corn market anyway, because obviously the bean market's probably a little tougher to gauge at this point, but with corn being so far off its highs, I'd just like to hear everyone else's takes on that.
And Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities?
Well, follow the acreage. The next thing that will move the bottom line more than anything is what type of production prospects we have out there. When you start moving that yield up and down a little bit, that's going to affect the bottom line tremendously as we go through the growing season.
Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities.
I'd like to talk a little bit about we've had a really good export pace and how that demand may down the road impact the carryouts.
And finally, if there's anything left on the list, Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services.
Well, I think we would like to talk about the expectations for the corn and beans moving here now that we've had this good rally above the insurance base for beans, a nice huge rally, and then the corn coming up and this year's December contract and even the July, taking out last year's high for this year's contract on the corn and then not getting out the high of last year's December corn contract, what that might mean.
Well, tell me about that, because I think Matt Bennett wanted to know if we thought the highs were in for the corn market. Where do you stand, Sue?
I don't think they are, but I think we're in for, well, we've already had a healthy correction. We had been expecting a high here. A lot of times the 24th week of the year, which is the week that has Father's Day in it, will be a good cash selling time. And we got that, and the corn making a high last Friday, barely taking out the previous high by, a half a cent or something like that, just didn't look like there was following through with some good momentum. And then, of course, the weather started to shift, and you had a tropical storm moving into the Gulf, which is not a common thing for the month of June. And and then, of course, it broke up over Mexico, but it could have set up where it would have really brought in some nice rains, possibly, and opened up the Gulf of Mexico, and it didn't do that. So I think our weather for right now, what seems to be appearing, leastways in Iowa, is that these temperatures, which right now this week they're pretty nice, but they keep talking about how we're going to cool down, we're going to catch all this rain. And there are some rains, but it's like a popcorn thunderstorm activity summer. And usually in those kind of summers, you don't get those really good yields. And when I look at the month of June so far, it seems like we're warmer than normal. And if you've caught rain, it seems like you caught a lot of rain. And maybe you were on the fringe of it and weren't quite so heavily hit, but it seems like we hear a lot of, 3 inches, 4 inches, 5 inches, 6 inches. Iowa City caught 6 inches. So it seems like it's too much of a good thing or just nothing or not enough. Des Moines, Iowa is pretty dry. From there on south, even towards Missouri, is very dry. Nebraska, I talked to very few people who have had rains in Nebraska. And then, of course, you know, you get into the Dakotas, and they've had some rains. But even then, they're starting to talk how their crops are starting to need some. And I talked to farmers, and they say their corn's rolling. I know yesterday, now we're in an area where we look pretty good. And driving home last night from work, I noticed the corn was rolling and rolling pretty tight, and it was only 88 degrees. The winds we've had this year have been very dry winds. And last Sunday, we were, you know, 95, 97 degrees with good winds, and it was a dry wind. And it just sucks the moisture out. So I'm really wondering just how good a shape we really are in. I don't know, but the crop looks good, but I'm wondering if we're going to stay looking that way. The market right now looks like these corn, for example, like it has a double top. We took out December corn, 2016's corn high of last year in July. That was 446 and three quarters, and granted, we got up to 449 and three quarters this year for that same contract. So we made a new high. But as far as year in, year out, these corn, we did not. At the moment, that looks like a double top. And last year, we fell 50-some cents. Today, it was 53 and three-quarter cents. And we did it in straight fashion. Both of them look very similar. So the key will be, how can we, you know, between now and maybe the 5th of July or so, we have some timing around the 5th, which is ironically also around the 4th of July when you typically will put highs in. But basically, we're thinking there's a low in there. And then the market catches. Now, that's without knowing what the quarterly stocks report and the plantings report says. But we think you put a low in there, and then we get a renewed lift. And it's that lift that we need to see how we're responding and why we're lifting as to. But we think there is the potential of a high. And part of what's driving our feeling about this, you know, never say never in the world of high finance, but in years going back, ending in a six, and, you know, going back through our data of 100 years, looking at a year ending in a six for corn, we find it's pretty consistent, even better maybe than beans. And a year ending in a six, we've only had one of them that put a high in the first half of the year. That happened to be in the year month of May. And the others were all in the last half, three in July, two in August, which were kind of late August, two in September, and two in December. I'm wondering if this is a year that maybe our high comes even later than I was originally thinking, that maybe it's more of a December high.
Well, we'll see. We'll find out from the rest of the folks, too. Chuck Shelby, I want to come to you at Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. You're a farmer, and I'll get Matt in as well on this one. What are conditions like in your area? Sue's a little bit worried. Their crop, though, looks good. How about yours, Chuck?
We've been fairly fortunate, Todd, to receive some timely rains. Last night was a good example. Fortunately, south of Lafayette, we got some rain, but it wasn't the excessive wind and storms they had north of Lafayette. They had a pretty good crop going up that way and flattened by some major winds. So I guess I would look at it. It's very variable. You go down south of 70. And southern Indiana, southern Illinois, extremely dry. We got some farmers in northern Indiana that would be the same way. So I think, to Sue's point, when you look at the national average yield, that we've been shooting pretty high the last couple of years with the variability around and some of this heat stress, we certainly wonder if we can make that kind of number. We could still have a good yield. But overall conditions around the country are pretty variable. And when we factor in what the acres are going to be, that's certainly going to be important. And that might be a factor next week that turns this market around, too.
Have you talked to Sherm Newland, who you work with, about his crops and the area there? I know he was awful wet near Hudsonville, Illinois, had a late start to the growing season. And I think he's turned out pretty dry at this point. That usually doesn't spell anything good for a crop.
No, in Sherman's area, and you take that back into parts of southern Indiana, They had to kind of force the crop in, and then when it turns off, your root systems are certainly compromised. And we've seen that up in different areas of Indiana, and even Ohio. Ohio has struggled. They had to push the crop in. Fortunately, a fairly good chunk of Ohio got some rains, but yeah, that's where we come back to. It's one thing to get the crop off, and it looks pretty good when it's small. But as you go forward, another point about this crop, your greatest moisture needs for corn occur as that crop starts to pollinate and ear fill. And we haven't got to that point yet. So some of these rains that are coming in the Western Corn Belt that the market is kind of sold off on, that may be enough to get it by. But really, the critical time's coming as we move into July.
And Matt Bennett, what do conditions look like in your area?
Well, we missed out on all the rain this week. We haven't really had any. You get west of me, I think you kind of draw a line from me up to maybe Decatur and then Peoria. There's not a lot west of there. Some of that, I've got a buddy in Elkhart not far from where your guys' farm is, and he had some that got rain and some that didn't. So where I'm at, we didn't get any rain, and corn's been rolling for, you know, 10 days. And so, yeah, we didn't have a whole – we had too much moisture in the spring where we don't have adequate roots. I think that maybe some of the secondary roots are doing their job at this point. But, you know, this morning whenever I drove into the office, you know, at 9 o'clock it was 88 degrees and corn was rolling. So not all of it, but quite a bit of it. And I think that, you know, it's concerning. We're probably within a week on most of this corn of pollinating, or at least shooting tassels, and so it's going to, the clock will be on pollination. We certainly hope to see some sort of weather event, some sort of precipitation in the next, you know, 10 days maybe, but our chances really don't look very good. So from the corn standpoint, we're pretty concerned at this point, especially on the lighter ground. The blacker ground seems to be handling a little better. Soybeans look pretty good. You know, we're a long ways away from being terribly concerned about them. Most everyone's got all their beans in the ground. You know, there was a little bit of spotting in due to all the rain that we've had. But for the most part, bean crop seems to be off to a fairly good start, but it'll obviously need some water to be able to put some growth on here moving forward.
For my part here in Champaign County, crops look really good in this part of the world of Illinois. This week I had 1.9 on Wednesday morning and 2.3 on Tuesday morning. At the farm you mentioned there for me in Elkhart, I only got 1300s on the first morning, and I think maybe we added up to about 5 to 7 tenths in total by the end of the week. Bloomington probably was the garden spot, I suppose, Kurt Kimmel, in the way of the way the rains came through. What'd you get this week?
Yeah, we've actually been doing quite well. You know, earlier we received you know, half, three quarters type inch rains. This past week here is anywhere from 2 to 3 inches, so we're quite fortunate here. The good, excellent category reading in this local area here is going to be high, and especially in the dark soil. Now you start getting a lighter soil, there's some problems, and Matt kind of hit on, especially you move here on west to the river, the internet pictures, social media pictures with the dryness, is a lot of that is coming from that region, and they're really struggling. And they've gone even to irrigating beans already in some locations to try to help that crop along. Now, you take Bloomington Normal North, you know, fairly good shape. But the thing, I think that the trade's kind of missing in here, and Chuck kind of hit it on it, is wind. I know they build a lot of windmills around, but there's been significant wind damage. I know you get up around that Pontiac area. We had, and even north of there, we had some tornadoes, but seems well, picking up a lot more wind damage than we've seen in the past in here, and that's really a pain in the rear end when you start to see it this early in the season.
I know we had wind damage in Champaign County on Wednesday and, or on Tuesday and Wednesday both. Chuck, you talked about wind damage. I don't think you had any enough rainfall or damage where you were. Is that right, Matt?
No, you would think missing the rain we wouldn't get any wind damage. Thank goodness we didn't, because that would have really poured salt in the wound, but no wind here.
And out in Iowa, the winds have been high and dry, but I don't think you've had to worry too much about damage there either, Sue.
No, not at all. The crops really in my area do look good, And I think they look good even going towards Des Moines. It's just that I'm wondering how much longer they're going to stay looking good when you consider that we've been warmer than normal compared to what we normally would be in the month of June. You know, I've had people tell me they've only had like maybe 0.3 inches for the month of June. Others are telling me they've had 1 inch. On our farm, we've had about 2.5 inches for the month of June. And June is one of our wettest months. So I'm wondering if this heat starts to re-ramp up again once we get more in towards July. I'm just wondering how well this crop's going to stand up to it.
Kurt Kimmel, this brings me to the point you wanted to ask the question about, which is, what are the production prospects at this point? Most people would say they probably are short, even if they've had rainfall. They're still short rainfall. I know in Elkhart, on the farm there, which is Logan County, near Springfield, just to the north of Springfield, probably 3.1 for the month of June. Not too bad, but still about 2 inches behind normal for that area.
Maybe visit the guys, they... You know, in some of these areas, have been missing rain. You know, they're kind of down on their yield prospects, and majority maybe taking the top end off. As long as the good to excellent category stays in this, you know, 72% to 75%, I think they're going to continue to look at some good yields. But we move into July, and this heat starts to pick up again, and we've already used some of these moisture reserves up, then you can start to say, well, we've seen the best good to excellent readings for the year, and start to see some deterioration as we go through the rest of the growing season. So not this July report, but from then on out, you could probably see the yield prospects for corn start to drift lower as we move forward.
Chuck, you have thoughts?
Well, corn plants set the number of rows around when it's in this smaller size, so the trade doesn't understand that. So when you look at areas that have had moisture stress, you're already hurting your yield when you're not going to have the number of rows around. And then as we move into the pollination phase, really if you hit some hot weather there, that's really going to impact pollination. And the final phase of corn production is ear fill. So if we're short on water and we add more heat as we get into July, a crop that looks really, really good now, very high rated, can end up being disappointing. But the problem with the market is that's all so far down the road, and we needed to get into, you know, down the road in July to see how those corn plants have responded.
So we all are thinking that we need to wait a bit to see what happens. The next step on this path is Friday of next week, or Thursday of next week, when the acreage and the grain stocks reports are due out. They'll come out at 11 o'clock on the last day of the month. What are your expectations, Chuck, and which one are you more concerned about?
Well, I think the acreage number is going to be the key focus of this market. A lot of anticipation that we're going to have as high as 3 million acres switched over to beans away from corn. That's certainly going to impact things, what that number is. And then one thing we've been watching closely is the demand side in the quarterly grain stocks. We've had excellent export demand. That's another component of this market. It's not the highlight of the market right now. Certainly it's the weather. But there's certainly, in our minds, been some acreage switch over to the soybeans. To quantify that number, that's what everybody's going to be anticipating come next week.
Matt, any thoughts here on the acreage switch? If there has been, you should have a good feel for it, I would think.
Yeah, you know, when we're talking acreage, I think total acreage, you know, in my opinion, will go up. I think we're going to see less prevent plant acres this year, going to get some acres from wheat. I feel like there's been a fair amount of acres that's been lost between corn and beans. You know, whenever I look at the acreage, to me, they were rich on corn acres in the March report because, you know, those numbers were taken as of the first of the month, and soybeans did nothing but rally. And, of course, you know, there were some areas where we had wet weather. And so in those areas, if you rally the soybeans a dollar and corn stands still, to me, it tells me there's probably a reasonable chance you're going to lose some acres there. So, you know, if I was going to throw some numbers out there, I think what I put out with Bloomberg, I was saying around 84.5 on soybean acres. Corn acres, I'm probably in the camp that probably lose around 1 million acres from the end of March number. Just I do think that we had switched some acres over, but again, I think total acres are going to be up.
Sue Martin, do you have targets?
Well, I think that when I look at beans, I think that the switch in acres, I'm looking for just under 1 million acres having switched. So I'm thinking there'll be a little bit more corn than what some are thinking. The big thing, I think, between the bean acres, looking for what may have switched, I think the other thing is going to go shift over to the export side of things and the global stocks on beans and corn. Taking South America into account will tell us more what the USDA is thinking on their production, because we've heard Argentina, the corn, even today, Buenos Aires Grain Exchange increased the corn up to 3 million metric tons to 28 million metric tons, and the beans just a little bit from 57.6 up to 58. So I'm curious to see if the USDA accommodates that. And in the meantime, our corn demand has been way better than what the USDA had expected.
Grain stocks report, Kurt Kimmel, is one of the things that will be coming out on Thursday. This particular report, the third one for the fiscal year or the marketing year, is usually a little hinky. It moves pretty sharply from one side to the other, often surprises the marketplace. What are your expectations as we make our way towards it?
It is a benchmark to look at. Bean stocks probably near this 840 million bushel area. Corn stocks around 4.5. But, you know, on the demand side, you factor in better export and better usage. All of a sudden, you have this old crop bean carryout closer to 300 million bushels. New crop bean carryout around 160, 175 million bushels. And even on corn, usage comes in strong. You've got old corn down to about 1.7, and this, you know, new corn below 2 in a fairly fast fashion here. Just to, when you go through the numbers and factor in better demand than what the trade was looking at 3-4 months ago.
Okay, now I'm really interested, because this is the second time on a Thursday that I've heard a number for the carryout for new crop that's below 200 million bushels for soybeans. Matt, Chuck, and Sue, where do you think that is at this point? I'll start with you, Chuck.
I would say that we're using them up faster than the USDA had always anticipated. In the last 5 years, they've been pretty much behind the eight ball. I think that number can be closer down to the 150 level, because they're using a really high yield. And if we have just a little bit of weather down the road, that impacts that that bean number pretty significantly as far as carryout. 1 or 2 bushel reduction in yield, still a great yield, but that tightens it up down in there. So I'm in a camp that we are lower and have been for quite a few years, but it's starting to show up, and the number really is under 200 somewhere.
Again, looking forward at the new crop carryout, Sue Martin.
Well, I'm under 200 as well for the new crop. I feel that before this year's all said and done, we're going to, of course, beans tend to handle heat better than corn. But I tend to think that our bean crop is going to be jeopardized with some heat. What I'm really wondering about is come fall, and if we continue to see this pattern of, since we've already had a named tropical storm here in the month of June, and we continue to come back and we pick up more speed with more hurricanes, tropical storms, and what have you, I'm wondering how well the Delta's going to do getting their beans out this year.
Yeah, I don't differ from these guys. I'm definitely under 200, and just echoing, you know, what a couple of them have said. I think usage is phenomenal. The people that I talk to, they're in the origination business, are having a hard time coming up with beans this year than what they ever thought they would. And so, you know, I think that our carryout's just going to continue to dwindle. And then as far as new crop goes, obviously highly dependent upon what these beans do this fall on yield. I think usage is excellent. We've all agreed upon that. Obviously, export sales have been nothing to scoff at. To me, most of your forecasters have been in fairly decent agreement that your late summer weather was where the biggest threat was. And so, you know, we already have a fair amount of areas that's got issues, and the temperature is definitely higher. than what most of us would prefer. And so, in my opinion, I think that's where your biggest fear is that we're going to have major weather issues to finish off this bean crop. And if we do, obviously, it's definitely under at some point you're going to be trying to ration demand.
And just as a reminder, in the June WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, USDA put the new crop soybean carryout at 260 million bushels. That was down from 305 in its first estimate, which came in the month of May. So we'll be looking forward to that. I think I hear all of you telling me that you have some concerns about weather yet for the rest of the season. That's not unusual, but it seems to me that you may all be telling me that you're more concerned about it than farmers, I think, are at this point. And it may be that the 50-cent move lower in corn just has them a bit depressed at this time. But are there things that farmers can look forward to still this season, Matt?
Yeah, you know, in my opinion, you know, we're a long ways from making the crop. Obviously, most people would really like to be in the Bloomington area where, you know, they've got more moisture and what they know what to deal with, because these warm temps aren't near the concern. But if you look at the precipitation map from this event this week, definitely a lot of people left holding the bag. And so, you know, yes, we've corrected. Whether we're going to make new highs or not, as Sue has alluded to, you know, I don't know. It's a tough call. But, you know, in my opinion, I don't think that this weather market is completely done yet. We definitely have quite a bit of ground to cover before we get to feeling really good about things. I think that if we're sitting here in 3 weeks and we have enough people in as good a shape as what they're in today, I think the highs are in, but that's 3 weeks from now. So it's pretty tough to know at this point. But, you know, from a producer's standpoint, I definitely wouldn't get too hasty just yet. And I'd wait and see what this weather looks like going into the weekend and next week. Because as we know from last week, things can change pretty significantly over the course of a weekend.
Chuck Shelby, as a farmer and a broker both, I assume that you're pushing the pencil on what you have in crop insurance and what your sales are. How concerned are you about bottom line revenue for the coming, for this marketing year?
Well, I think we've seen a big improvement in the bean price, which certainly helped a lot of guys out. I think we've seen the corn price come up to some profitable levels. The difficulty is in all this is seeing if it's going to last and stick. And the other component that we've all talked about during the course of today's discussion is it's really tough to be an aggressive seller even though you're profitable when you're not certain how your crop's going to turn out. You see these forecasts coming. It's always hardest at this time of the year to make some decisions, but I think we finally got some opportunities, some prices that maybe we can work with that give you more flexibility than when we started out the growing season.
And how do you take advantage of them? Do you still do something with soybeans?
Yes, I think so. I think if you're a producer, there are some fairly inexpensive put options that would create a $10 floor that we would have thought impossible as we started to plant those beans. That's one method. And the other method, I guess, if you're going to go ahead and sell cash at some of these levels, if you haven't done anything, then some kind of call option to protect against the longer-term weather as we move into late July or mid-July and August.
Anything for corn?
Kind of same strategy, Todd. It's a good example of the crop north of Lafayette. They thought they had a good crop. Gets blown down, certainly going to impact their yield. Or you look down where Matt and Sherman are, they're really struggling, not even knowing exactly what's going to happen. So you got to have some flexibility if you're in a good area, like over where Kurt is, maybe some forward cash sales and not too worried about, you know, maybe the upside, save some bushels. But if you're in a bad area, the only way you can do it is something on paper to protect the downside till you know more about what your crop's going to be.
Anybody else have ideas about what should be done?
This tough part of the marketing as producer this time of year, because higher prices are generated by smaller supply and smaller yields, and that's always real stressful to work through that. But I agree with what Chuck said, stay flexible and capitalize on some of their ideas. But I think the wild card still in here to help the farming community out is the speculative interest in the grain market. And I don't think that's going to go away anytime soon. So whenever you get these guys in buying it, it's to your advantage to look at some of these flexible marketing programs to take advantage of these up moves, because they're going to probably ride this thing clear into this fall.
I think that one thing that has really hurt the corn market here this week is the fact that, one, you have a seasonality tendency to buy wheat and sell corn. And you hold about the middle of the month, and you hold that till the latter part of July. Then you get away from it, and then it turns around and goes the other way where corn gains on wheat. And then by the latter part of August, you'd go back at that. And that thing is working very similar. That spread has been working very well. So I think that's part of the selling on corn. I think the Brexit vote, when the clearing firms raised margins 200%, the funds that were heavy into corn here recently, and then all of a sudden are hearing super yields in wheat in the harvest, which is coming back to haunt the corn, I think that, along with the raise in the margins, caused some funds to say we need to get out of the corn to keep our money shifted where we need it best, in be it whether it's gold, silver, bonds, T-notes, dollar, pound, you know, you name it. And I think that enhanced this break as well. But it is what it is. It's broken 53 cents just straight down like it was a knife cutting through butter, you know. So I think that when we look at these markets, a farmer that is selling grain, and of course you guys are a little more blessed than we are in the Western Corn Belt, our basis levels are not that great out here. But what we're telling people is check your basis. If it's not as good as it could be, then do your marketing through hedge to arrives, and you know, then your elevator margins it for you. You get an opportunity to roll it maybe once or twice. But the thing is, keep that basis open, because, for example, out here, it is so poor, you have nothing to lose. And if we get into that weather market like some are talking, then by the time we get in towards harvest, those elevators are going to be and commercials are going to be trying to lock up as much grain as they can get before it goes into the bin, because they know farmers won't part with it very easily until next spring.
Matt Bennett, your marketing thoughts, and then your final thought for the day.
Well, I think from a marketing perspective, as you know, we started selling when we felt like our producers could be profitable in their own individual situations, and soybeans, obviously, we started plenty early, but they were at profitable levels, so I don't mind being wrong on those initial sales. We're up 40% of APH, which I feel is a fairly conservative number, but we also have floors underneath a fair amount of the rest of those beans. When you look at corn, we're 25% of our APH. You know, we didn't sell anything till we got above last year's free insurance price of $4.15. We don't feel any need to do anything at this point. You know, in my opinion, we're a little bit early to be in full-on panic mode, but I can assure you, as Chuck was saying, guys in my area and Sherman's area, where they're getting awfully dry and the market's dropped 50-some cents, some are fairly close to full-on panic mode. So I'm just trying to kind of talk, talk them off the ledge, if you will, and let's give this thing a little bit of time. It's still early yet. And we're not going to push a situation that on most people's operations, especially the high input ones, they just simply can't be profitable at these price levels. So we're kind of in a wait and see mode. And I think my final thoughts would be, this a lot of people got weather this week. It got a fair amount of rainfall in areas, and I'm happy for them. I think there's enough areas that have been missed, and there's enough producers, in areas, especially west of Mississippi, that I've talked to producers that say that they're in dire straits. And so, I think that there's probably more fireworks to come with this market, and I don't really want to get real aggressive on sales until I feel really comfortable either about my production or about my profitability at the level the prices are at.
Matt Bennett, of course, is with Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities in Normal. Your final thought, Kurt?
Yeah, kind of like what Matt said there. I think you got to stay flexible in through here and stick to a plan that fits your own particular situation. What's good for you might not be the best interest of the neighbor, but overall, we got a lot of growing season in front of us. We got a lot of weather forecast to come at us yet, so we got the volatility up there, and it's going to stay very well juiced up until we at least get into August.
And from Webster City, Iowa, Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services.
Well, I think the best thing I can say is that the market has been very swift and very down pricing, and probably more swift than we would have expected in corn. We were expecting this kind of power on the beans to the downside, although beans started to kick in a little bit late today. But yet, if you go back and look at similar years, you get these swift moves, and then all of a sudden they catch because they overdo themselves too soon. And then we catch a nice bounce back up, and even if we don't make higher highs, the market gives you a reprieve to have the ability to come back. Options have been a great tool this year because they didn't have a lot of volatility in them priced in early. And so options have been giving us some really great opportunities this year to protect ourselves with and give us peace of mind at the same time. We still look to options, and I think that when we, I've been asked many times, will beans have a new high? I think that's going to have to take some weather to give us that. For corn, if we come up and we now take out that double top at that 446, 449 and three quarters level, you take that out, you roll this whole range over and project it up. But there's these huge gaps, and they haven't been filled yet. And once we start getting through these tops, they'll be like a magnet, and it'll just keep drawing the market higher and higher. So I'm not ready to throw the towel in on corn yet. I have to admit, when the market downsizes like this one has, it sure makes you wonder if the top hasn't been put in, but I don't really think it has.
And Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities.
Well, I think we need to be a little bit patient. If we look at last year's market, we didn't think there was much of an opportunity. And I think one thing we're watching for is the ability of the demand side as time goes on. So if you're a producer and you're in one of those areas, you're not confident what your crop's going to be, if we get some good price opportunities, we might take advantage of some of that in some method. But I do believe as we go forward into the end of the year and the beginning of the next year, the demand side of the equation is certainly a supportive factor. So be patient. Try to pick your battles. It's going to be a long time before we know the answer to this. And try to hope for the best with your weather. And going forward, there are some opportunities, I think, yet to come.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find the whole of our program always online at willag.org, along with archives of previous programs. Our panelists today have included Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting out of Channel Seeds in Windsor, Illinois, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services out of Webster City, Iowa. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.